This evening's Bible reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, commencing at verse 27, page 10 of the Black Church Bibles. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishcah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you."
I promise that I will speak for no longer than 20 minutes tonight. Do you believe me? Okay. All right. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I promise I will not speak the longer for 20 minutes tonight. Do you believe me? Yeah? Okay. 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 All right. Okay, what about this? I'll shake on it. Just form like an orderly queue here. It might take a while, but I promise I'll speak for no longer than 20 minutes. Do you believe me now? All right. Next level. I'm signing a document right now. What's the date? 8th of... What number is that? 14. I, Josh Hawkins, promise to speak for no longer than 20 minutes tonight. Signed by me. Believe me? Yeah, getting a few more yeses. All right, what about this? Let's crank this up one more notch. I need like a reverend, like a minister, because surely if I make a promise under God, you'll believe it. Pat Jones, you're a reverend. Come here. All right. They don't believe me, so just ask me. Ask me.
Josh?
Yep.
Do you promise to speak for no more than 20 minutes?
I do.
Awesome.
Do you believe me? You do? Okay. Well, let's see how we go. Now, I'm not surprised that you don't believe me because I got a little bit of a secret. I don't keep all my promises. You see, as much as I want to speak for no more than 20 minutes, I might break the promise. Like, seriously, I might break it. I'm really sorry. I'll try my hardest, but I might break it because I don't keep all my promises. And you may be wondering, well, how is it that you're a minister? Like, surely shouldn't you keep all your promises? Shouldn't you be trustworthy? Yeah, I guess so. But I struggle. I struggle to keep my promises. Like, I'll rock up late to things. And I might send you a text being like, "Oh, so sorry. Something came up. I won't make it." I don't always keep my promises. And I suspect that maybe you might be the same. Maybe. But it's not you, it's me. See, I don't even keep my promises to myself sometimes. Like, okay, tomorrow I won't press the snooze button. I'm not going to do it. Okay, from this week, no more junk food. Promise, Josh. Or, okay, I am getting fit. Every spare moment I have, I'm going for a run, going to the gym. That's it for now. I break every promise that I keep to myself. It's not you, it's me. See, we live in a world that promises are optional now. Promises are optional. I don't keep my promises. I simply cannot be trusted. And Beck's not here, Beck Led. She's one of our interns here, and she asked this question the other night. She preached at Crossfire. She asked the question, have you ever made a promise to God that you didn't keep? Like, from now, I'm not going to do that anymore. From now, I'm going to be the best. I'm not going to sin once. Ever made that promise? I've done it 100 times. You simply can't do it. We live in a world where promises are optional. Have you ever noticed that? On Facebook, an event comes up, you've got 3 options. First option is no, which means I'm honest enough to tell you that I'm not keen. Second option is maybe, which means I'm not honest enough to tell you that I'm not keen. And the third option is yes, which means I'll see how I feel in the day. If something better comes up, I might come. See, promises are optional these days. I don't know if you've noticed that. Even with one of the biggest promises you could make to someone, marriage, you're there, you've got a minister, a reverend, you've got like a room full of people that you love and you trust. It's like a legal decision. You have to like sign your name. But does it make sense that even now, it's a 50-50 chance on whether you're telling the truth or the other person is telling the truth that they're going to keep that promise? We live in a world where promises are optional. And I tell you what, it can be frustrating. Even just trying to make something happen, make an event happen, or catching up with someone on time. It's impossible. It can be annoying. It can be frustrating. But I tell you what, it can be devastating, because you know when someone's broken a promise, that's also broken your relationship, and we can't trust that person anymore. Imagine if we could live in a world where a promise was never broken, a world where there was someone we could actually trust, or even a world where we could trust ourselves to keep our promises. Well, if you were here last week, then you were introduced to this guy. His name is Adam. And he had a word linked to him. Does anyone remember what word it is? Potential. We got Adam, and his word was potential. Tonight, I want to introduce you to this man, the crazy-looking guy. This guy's name is Abraham, and he has a word as well. His word is promise. Everyone say promise. Fantastic. This is Abraham. He's a little bit older than Adam. He's holding a knife. Doesn't have any feet, which is kind of weird. But I'm going to introduce you to Adam tonight, because he's going to tell us a little bit about promise. Now, what do you know about Abraham? He was a father. He had many sons. Many sons had father Abraham. I'm one of them. So are you. Let's all praise the Lord, right? He actually had 8 sons, which is quite a lot in my world. But let me give you a rundown of what Abraham was all about. Now, in the Bible, he's got 2 names. God changes his name. His first name is Abram. And his second name is Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham for the rest of the time, just so you know, even though in the Bible it might say Abram. Now, this is pretty much his deal. He was chilling. He was just chilling by himself. He was a normal guy, so we can relate to him, or a girl, normal person. And then God came to him and said, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now, I was thinking about this. It's almost the equivalent of God saying to you tonight, leave everything right now and walk to Adelaide. Now, my first question would be, does it have to be Adelaide? And my second question would be, why? Why do I have to do this? But Abraham doesn't ask God why. He just goes. God says, leave everything and go. He doesn't ask why, but God answers the why in the next bit. And let me read this to you. He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is God's first promise to Abraham. And so far, no complaints from Abraham. It seems like a pretty good deal. And he actually goes. He packs up all these things, takes his wife, Sarah, and his nephew, and they peace out. God then promises Abraham the second thing, and it's land. Now, everyone in Kellyville here is getting a bit excited because land is some big deal. God promises Abraham land. This is the second promise that God has for Abraham. And there's one more promise, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. God promises that one of Abraham's children will be his heir, and his descendants would fill the land that he's going to. In fact, this is what God says in Genesis 15:5. He says, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be. In short, God says, it's baby-making time. You're about to be blessed with children and heaps of them. But this is where it gets interesting. First of all, Abraham and his wife didn't have any children at this point. And a little later on, we find out that she's barren. It's impossible for her to have a child. And secondly, God promises that this will happen later on when Abraham is 99 years old and Sarah is 90 years old. Just picture that for a minute. Okay. Don't picture it for a minute. I don't know if you've hung out with your grandparents lately, but like, it doesn't make any sense that God would promise this 90-year-old woman, you will now have your first child. It's laughable, this promise that God makes. In fact, later on in Genesis, at two different times, Sarah and Abraham actually laugh at God when he says this. He says, I will bless you with a child, and they just laugh. As if that is a ridiculous promise that God is making. But Abraham actually believes God. He doesn't question God's promise. He doesn't let his circumstance influence his trust in what God is saying. But then Abraham has a question about this whole thing. And this is what it is. In Genesis 15:8, he says, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I'll gain possession of it? Now, when I first read this, I thought, okay, finally Abraham's like got his senses together and he's asking, how is this even possible? Like, I don't think it is possible. You need to prove it. But the second time I looked at it, listened to it, he says, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? See, I think that Abraham trusts God, but he doesn't trust himself that he will be able to fulfill all these promises God has made. He can't quite equate how he will have an unlimited family when he and his wife can't even have one child. So we ask this question, how will I know that I can possess this land? And this is how God answers. And it's going to get a bit freaky. Are you okay to get a bit freaky? Is that all right? Okay. This is what the Lord said to him. He said, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite one another. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Then the Lord, he repeated the promises to Abraham. He said, this is what he's going to do. And then it says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And it says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. What in the world is going on? Let me give you a 30-second history lesson. What just happened with the animals and everything? And I'm sorry if you're an animal lover out there, but it's in the Bible. It's happened. But in the ancient world, this ceremony was like common practice when two people wanted to make a promise, when they wanted to make a covenant. It's kind of like when you say, let's shake on it, or cross my heart, hope to die, but maybe a little bit more serious. So you would grab a handful of animals, cut them down the middle, and place them facing each other, each half facing each other. And what the two people would do, the two people that want to make the promise, is they would walk through these animals as a symbol that they were going to take this promise seriously. Now, some people think that walking through the cut-up animals was saying that if you break this promise, you might end up like this. This is a serious promise. This is a covenant. And this is what happened. So he calls Abraham to do this. And he brings the animals, cuts them in two, lays them out. But there's something different about this. And I don't know if you picked it up, but let me read it again. Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Now, I don't think this means that he was just completely knackered. I think that God actually put him to sleep for what was about to happen. Because as we read, this ceremony happens, but God, who is represented by that flaming torch, is the only one who passes through the animals. Now, what that means is that God made the promise to himself. It didn't count on Abraham. See, Abraham's question was, how is it possible that I will keep my side of this promise? He doubted himself, and God's answer was, you will, because I'm taking you out of the equation. It will happen only because of me. God's covenant, God's promise is with himself. It's kind of a weird concept to think about, but imagine you go to a car yard. Maybe you want to buy a first car or a new car, and you see one and you fall in love with it. It's like square shaped. It looks like a cube, and it's like, it's the best car you've ever seen, and you want it so bad, but you look at the price tag and like, holy moly, that is not, no chance whatsoever. But the dealer there says, you will leave today with that car. And you're like, there's no way I can afford this. And so you go have a think about other cars, and you end up going to the toilet. And while you're in the toilet, you come back and there's legal documents. He's already signed the car away. And you're like, what are you doing? I can't afford this. And you look at the signature and he's got his name there. And under your name, he signed it as well. Does it make sense that he is going to pay for that car? As much as his promise is that you will have the car and take it away, the dealer is actually going to pay for it. His name is on that contract. And in the same way, God makes the contract with himself. He takes Abraham out of the equation, knowing that Abraham could never fulfill the promise. And God signs that deal and says, this is how it's possible, because I am going to do it. You see, every other promise in this world is optional. It has conditions. Every other religion in this world has conditions. You must do this. You must not do this. You must come to God like this with a potential that he will accept you. But Christianity is completely different. And we see this with Abraham. the promise from God is completely one-sided. It's not optional and it has no conditions because God has paid for it himself. You see, as God walked through those animals and he saw them cut up, he knew that at some point someone's going to have to pay for this promise to be fulfilled. And that's where Jesus comes into the equation. Because you know that Jesus came and he paid a cost, but for what? For that deal. Because Abraham couldn't keep up his end of the bargain. God had to pay for that somehow. What God promised to Abraham and what he promises to us is that he will be our God and that we will be his children. See, Christianity is completely different to other religions because it's a gift from God. To people like Abraham, who were he's a regular person. He had nothing special about him. He had his doubts. He stuffed up plenty of times. But all he could do was believe. Because you might be wondering, well, if Abraham's taken out of the picture, is he just some robot or puppet? He has nothing to do with this deal. No. He does something. And in chapter 15:6, it says this: Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. All he had to do was believe God, and the deal was done. You see, if I just laughed in the face of that car dealer and said, I don't believe it, and just walked away, my own disbelief would mean that I don't have a car. But to actually say, yeah, I believe it, take the key and go. That's all we have to do with God. That's what Abraham did. He believed and righteousness was credited to him. And when Jesus fulfills that promise, this is what it says in Galatians 3:29. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. You see, we live in a world where promises are now optional. As much as we want to trust people, as much as we want to trust ourselves, we often get let down, and we let down other people. But friends, we have a God whose promises are not optional. His words hold so much weight that he confirmed them by his own death in Jesus. No matter what happens in this world, no matter how many promises that we break to God, we have a God who has promised that he will be our God even into eternity. And all we have to do is believe. 21 minutes. You can only trust God.